Welcome to the inaugural episode of The Sandwich Generation. My name is Nick Winnenberg. I'm the co-host of this podcast, joined by Ian and also our two fantastic future hosts. Do you mind going ahead and introducing yourselves?
Sure. I'm Mark Healy.
And Rachel Healy of Senior Care Authority.
And then I am the other co-host, Ian, the host.
Well done, Ian, the host. It's very nice to launching this inaugural podcast episode with you. And I know we're focusing on the sandwich generation. Can you explain to us what the sandwich generation is?
Yes, often the person that we're working with, the client that comes to us with a problem, is often the daughter, the daughter-in-law, or the son of parents who are now struggling to care for themselves. Whether that is they have medical needs, maybe they're just not taking their medication right, they're not eating, you know, their meals timely, but these folks also are raising children. You know, they may have young children still in the home or children that are just getting ready to launch. Sometimes they're getting ready to send their kids to college when this need arises for the parents. And I found myself in that situation, still with kids at home when my parents needed care.
That's a very good explanation of it. So it's in between those two responsibilities and trying to figure out how to navigate that moving puzzle.
Exactly.
Well, and that individual is also working. So they're working, caring for their younger kids, and parenting their parents.
That's difficult.
Yeah. And they're feeling like they don't have enough time. They don't have enough energy. There's just not enough of them to go around. For everybody that needs something.
Can you tell me about your organization, how you help fill that gap?
Sure. What we do is we come alongside the family. And, you know, we tell them quite frequently that we're happy that they're allowing us to come alongside them. And then we help them fill some of those gaps. One of the things that's happening is that the care providers are usually 8 to 5. The daughter or the son is working 8 to 5. So we can be that person that makes the calls, that finds their needs, that I like to say we have a tool belt. And in our tool belt are realtors, our transition specialists, our lawyers, and those type things, so that they're not searching. And really, that was one of the things that we fumbled big time when we brought Rachel's mom and dad to town.
Because one of the things that I feel like we help families do the best is focus on kind of what's their immediate need, and then what is the plan? What is the long term? Where are we right now? And what's the goal of getting to the other side of the problem? So we can take their focus down to if you decide that your parents need to move into a senior living community, there are lots of them out there. I mean, I'm sure you're all seeing they're being built all over the place as, you know, we're dealing with the boomers aging. But we know the communities, we can look at the locations, and we know what communities do best. We kind of know the feel of the community. We know who will accept Medicaid after a period of time. We know who will take Medicaid walking in the door. I always say we're going to treat people as if they're our own family. And we're going to have, you know, just very real, honest conversations. We're going to ask them some hard questions. And just kind of try to take their stress level down, but narrow their focus greatly. Because, you know, we hear people of looking at 10 and 12 different senior living communities. Our goal is to have you not look at more than 4. Wow. And we have been, and most often it's 2 or 3. And we've been incredibly successful at helping families find what they feel like is a really great fit in much less time than they would do it on their own.
I love it.
So actually, I have a quick question. So speaking on like the time and, you know, narrowing it down, how long does it typically take to find like a home or possibly like senior care for these people?
Well, that's a really great question. And I would say it really depends on what you need. We had one situation where we met a husband in a networking group, and he said, my wife needs to talk to you. She's taking care of her grandmother because both of her grandmother's children had predeceased her. And She didn't call me right away. About 10 days later, she called me on a Sunday evening at about 6 o'clock. Grandma's in the hospital. Can you help me not have to take her back home? This is our opportunity. This is our window. Because I had the connections and could just take a look at what area do you want to be in, I was able to do 3 tours with them the next day. I reached out to the communities online and scheduled the appointments, and we just spent a full day. And then when Grandma was ready to come out of the hospital, she rehabbed, and they knew exactly where she was going. So we can do it really quick because of the connections that we have. Ideally, you're going to give yourself some time and some space to think about, you know, the process. So it really will work with your timeline. We can do it quickly or we can do it slowly. I would say generally it probably takes a month, a month or two.
You know, it's interesting because the tail end of that story, I ran into that gentleman at another networking meeting, and he said, "Thank you for giving me my wife back."
Oh.
I said, "What do you mean?" And when they would go out on a date or go to a restaurant, she had her phone on the table because she had cameras watching Grandma. Mm. So she would, while they were eating out on their date, she'd be watching Grandma do her thing at home. And when Grandma was able to transition into a safe community nearby, she was able to turn her phone off and actually be a wife again.
Mm. Yeah. So, I love it.
Now that somebody else was providing the care.
Yeah. And I know your goal with this podcast is to go through and highlight the different families, but you were originally one of those families that needed the help. So can you walk me through your story of how you got there?
Yeah. I guess we'll start with my story. Back in 2000, probably mid-2008, I recognized that my parents were really starting to struggle. They lived in rural Virginia, where both of them were born and raised. You know, their entire life was spent there. And my dad had already gone into skilled nursing. He had started to have a lot of falls, just had generally not taken care of himself physically. He was an attorney. He ended his career as a federal judge. So he was always busy and going and doing things, and just didn't take the time to exercise or really care for himself. And he let himself get a little bit heavy, and so then his knees weren't working as well, and he started to have a lot of falls. Well, my mom was very devoted to him, and she cared for him at home probably longer than she really should have. But it came to a point she realized that she had to do something. There was one senior living skilled, it was a skilled nursing building. There were no other options near them at that time. So that's where my dad ended up. The people there were wonderful in that they were caring and kind, but he didn't get the care we would have liked to have seen. There were many times that was disappointing. So we're like, okay, Dad, you know, is already in this situation. Mom had gone back to work just because she loved to work and be with people. And she was in the clerk's office, and she was actually doing some research as a retiree. They had a grant, and she went back to work. And I said, "Mom, you know, what are you thinking? We're thinking we need you closer to one of us." And my brothers were both had both moved away from home as well. And so I was the only daughter, so it kind of fell to, yes, I'm probably going to do this. My mom and I were very close. So we set a timeline. Will you consider it? And while you think about it, let's think about what time would you consider moving? And she finally said she'd be willing to think about making a plan for November of the following year. Kind of arbitrary. So we had my dad in skilled nursing, and my mom was still living independently in their home, but it was offset from the road. She had a small dog, which required her to take the dog out for walks. I would wake up in the morning during this time period, and as soon as I would wake up, I'd call my mom. If she didn't answer the phone quick enough, my blood pressure would just go sky high. Okay, has she fallen on the driveway and hit her head? Nobody's going to find her. My brother said, Oh, it's just a little dog. It's not a big deal. I'm thinking, yeah, a little dog that gets between her feet and she falls.
Right. Have a corgi. It's nothing like that.
Yeah. Right, 100%. Anyway, so we did eventually decide we were going to go through the process. Well, my parents had been living in their home for over 40 years. So they had a big ranch home with a full footprint basement. And it was full. It was full of stuff. Mark said every relative that had passed away had left their stuff in my parents'
basement. I'm sure it was like a museum at that point, too, right?
Going
through
that,
I'm like, wow.
But remember, I said we were in a rural setting.
Yeah.
So there were very few options. So we made some very creative options.
I'm sure.
I ended up finding a junk dealer, and he brought his truck, and we had to pay to take things to the landfill.
Yeah.
And it was not an experience I would suggest for anybody, because probably I specifically targeted, I would say I made 6 trips. Sometimes I drove about 6 hours away. Sometimes I flew. But it truly took a toll on my health. Just the process of getting them out of their home. Mm. And then we had to figure out where are they going to go when they get here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were blessed with finding some good options. I did work with a care advisor. She was strictly online, so all we ever did was talk on the phone. But I will say she certainly helped me better than if I had nobody helping
right.
me. So that's one of the things that I love about what we do, is we're actually boots on the ground. We're going to go with you to look at the communities that we suggest, you know, to make sure you get your questions answered. So we didn't have that. So I did have some help. And she reminded me, and I think this is an important thing, is when you're looking at communities, you want to look at the things you guys talked about, you know, the staff, the caring, the comfort. It's not the wallpaper and the curtains and the fancy decorating that's going to take care of your loved ones.
Mm.
It's the people. And so we did end up, we were blessed to have my mom move across the street.
Oh, nice.
From us. She was able to rent a condo directly across the street, and that probably gave her about 2 more years of independence, because then she got a Parkinson's diagnosis. Mm. We knew something was a little off, but we couldn't figure it out. So we took her to physical therapy, and they couldn't figure it out. Eventually, somebody said, actually, her primary care physician said, I think she might have Parkinson's, and we went down that whole trail. And we then, you know, tried to find resources. My brothers and I decided, mom was quiet, as we shared before, that having her in home would be the best option, that if I could stay home and be her primary caregiver. So that's what we did. And then, of course, I was smart enough to hire some care. They had the ability to pay for that. So we brought some care in so that I could continue to build my life. Again, I was part of that sandwich generation. I was still raising my kids. I was still, you know, very active in our church and in the community. And so we brought caregivers into the home as well and allowed me to have some time to refresh. And that's really important for caregivers.
Mm, true.
Because they can just wear themselves out.
100%.
And a lot of times we heard this phrase used the other day. It's the sick killing the well when you're the caregiver and you're trying to jump in and fill
every
gap. It's
2 full-time jobs, too.
Yes.
I mean, that's real hard.
Well, and I think one of the things, you know, I'm going to work. I'm a physical therapist. I'm going to work in skilled nursing, which I did for about 20 years. I'd come home. Her mother was all happy and to see me. And so I thought everything was just hunky-dory. It wasn't until we started training for this business that I realized that Rachel went from being, I thought this was cool, a daughter-mother relationship. Mm. And it wasn't until we started the training that I recognized that Rachel, it was Mary Ruth, caregiver.
Right. The role changed.
The role had changed completely. Our story continued with my mother. My mother's 90 years old. We tried for 5 years. My mother lived in Houston, Texas. We tried for 5 years to convince my mother. I have a sister in L.A., a sister in Chicago, and then us. And I tried for 5 years. Mom, just move closer to somebody.
Mm.
My mother had a stroke, I think maybe 2 years ago in April. Had a stroke on the 27th of April. She lived in the house since the early 80s.
Oh, wow.
In Houston. Very similar situation. My sisters and I converged on my mother's home, knowing what to do. My mother had the stroke on the 27th of April. On the 25th of May, we had my mother's house essentially emptied. Mm. My mother on a plane. A week later, the house was sold.
Good job, real estate agents.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it truly knowing the people to reach out to made all the difference. So we had a transitional person that helped finish cleaning out the house after we left. Smart. So mom didn't have to experience her things being thrown away or given away. She was a collector. She'd traveled the world. Mm. And I remember thinking in my mind, I don't know if I shared how much of a toll it actually did take on my health, the experience I went through with my parents. I had some health challenges after that whole process. And I thought, oh, wow, here we go again with Mark's mom. Well, she was a little bit of a different person. She didn't have as much stuff. She'd already started to clear things out. But the difference was knowing the right people to call, because I thought, how many times are we going to go back and forth to Houston? We didn't go back and forth at all. We went one time, spent about 4 days with her, with Mark's sisters, put her on a plane, and we never went back. Mm. So the transitional person finished cleaning the house and turned it over to the real estate agent. And it was done.
Because you had the process. You had the
Because template. We had the process.
Yeah, on top of the experience. And actually, from having my personal experience with my grandmother, knowing that, you know, you guys understand what that experience is like, what that stress can be like. Because me being with my mother, it was a lot of, you know, work that we had to do, trying to find the right place for her, trying to find the right, you know, fit for her, especially for her coming from a different culture to a whole another culture.
That's huge.
So, I mean, that's definitely like a big thing that, you know, I appreciate definitely that you guys are doing, is that you guys have your own experience and that you mentioned your boots on the ground. Because, you know, it's easy to call and have a conversation through a phone, but you're willing to go with these people who are having one of the most stressful points in their life, trying to figure out, you know, the sandwich generation where they have their kids. They're trying to balance out that and then take care of their parents. And you guys are, you know, here basically like holding their hand, just like, you know, you got this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a really good point. So I feel like that's probably a pretty good wrap up for our first episode of The Sandwich Generation. So thank you so much for telling your personal stories and teaching us a little bit more about what it's like to be in that generation. Any final thoughts before closing out?
I guess the only thing that I would really like to say is you don't have to do this alone. It's hard. It's stressful. It takes a lot of time, but we're here to help.